Well, a pleasant morning to you and YouTube land. We're delighted you've tuned in this morning and that we can study the Word of God together. We're mindful of those this morning who are dealing with sickness. You're in our thoughts and in our prayers. And we're also mindful of those who are dealing with grief of the loss of loved ones. We want you to know we sorrow with you and we've been praying for comfort from the God who reigns on high. We also ask that you continue to pray for our elders as they oversee the flock of God here. We appreciate so much their discernment and their wisdom as they are concerned about the souls and the well-being of the brethren at this locality. We appreciate so much their decisions, and we know that they're trying to follow the New Testament pattern and do that which glorifies God. And we're thankful for them and thankful for the deacons who serve. And we also want to be thankful for Brother Guy and continue to pray for him and Sister Ann. Brother Guy's been preaching here for 20 years and continues to do a wonderful job. He does an outstanding job of proclaiming the gospel of Christ, preaching for many years throughout this land, and we're thankful for him. In your Bible, in the book of John, in the 19th chapter, if you will, begin with me at verse 1. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they struck him with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Behold, I'm bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then if you take your New Testament, look in Matthew's account and notice another detail in Matthew 27. In Matthew 27 and verse 29, when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed their knee before him and mocked him and saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. You know, there's something about this picture that touches my heart. And if the Lord wills that I live and am able to continue to preach, I will, Lord willing, preach on the crown of thorns time and time again. I think it's important that we see what was done to Jesus before the cross of Calvary and upon the cross of Calvary. And when you take your Bible and turn to the book of John in the 19th chapter and you see them putting that crown of thorns on his head, I want you to think about how much hatred and how much disbelief was in the heart of the people of that day and time. I want you to already think about it. Jesus had agonized in the Garden of Gethsemane and to the point that he said he was to the point of death. And you'll recall that he was sweating as drops of blood. And therefore, Jesus has already been traumatized as a night of no sleep and a night of deep agony and a night of sweat. And I want you to think about, my friend, there is Jesus. Then you get the picture of Judas coming and kissing him and betraying him for 30 pieces of silver. Judas, who'd walked with him and talked with him and saw the miracles while Jesus was doing his earthly ministry, turned on him and sold him. And sold him for the price of a slave. Then Peter denied him. Jesus had told him earlier that evening, "Before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times." And Peter said, "Oh no, Lord, I'll die with you." But the rooster crowed. And Peter had denied him three times. And I thought about, not only did that cut Peter's heart, but in Luke 22, you remember when the Lord turned and looked at Peter, no doubt that cut to the quick of the Lord. No doubt that cut to his heart, that he had been denied and all had forsaken him. Eventually, John will find his way to the foot of the cross, and it appears Peter saw from afar off. But I want you to think about, my friend, Jesus went to trial alone, and it was a mockery of a trial. That Jesus didn't have anyone there to testify on his behalf. But here you find false accuser after false accuser trying to come up with an accusation to stick against Jesus. And they cannot get their testimonies to match, so they trump up charges and take him to the Roman governor Pilate, who also said, "I find no fault in him." Here was Jesus, innocent of every charge they tried to bring, except he was the Son of God. And I'll tell you something, my friend. Pilate tried to rid himself of responsibility and sends Jesus to Herod. Herod, having heard of the miracles of Jesus, wanted to see a miracle. And when Jesus wouldn't even speak to him, he sends him back to Pilate. So in John 19, Pilate has him scourged. Oh, don't overlook that. Time will not permit us to get into a scourging because I'll tell you, we could preach sermon after sermon on that one event. I'll tell you, that's not just some minor beating. But when they took that cat of nine tails that was made with lead and bone and glass that was twisted into that cat of nine tails, and it would come down upon the back of someone, and it would come around the body, it would rip the skin when they pulled it back. Like hooks going into the body. And it would just rip away, and many times those individuals would die from loss of blood. Many times their internal organs would be exposed, and they would have to crawl away. But here you'll find they scourged Jesus. But after they scourged him, they're not done yet. They take this robe and they put it on his back, and they put the crown of thorns upon his head. And we need to understand this is not like a thorn we find on a rose bush. These were large thorns that would go into the scalp. And they took the reed and they beat him over the head and they spit in his face. Mocking. But I thought about that crown of thorns. And I believe it would do us good to stop and think about the thorns in the master's crown. Some things that really cut to the heart of Jesus on the night before and the day he was crucified. First of all, the thorn of disbelief. Have you ever thought that they never believed he was the Christ? Open your Bible to the book of John and the first chapter. And when you come to John chapter 1, you'll find that Jesus came to his own, the Bible says, but his own received him not. And I'll tell you, that is a pitiful picture. Look at verse 11 and underscore it carefully. He came to his own and his own did not receive him. I want you to think about, though he had been prophesied about, though he had been talked about from the prophets of old, they did not believe that he was the Christ, the Messiah, because he didn't come as the way they had pictured him to come, to save the nation. He'd come to save all mankind. He came to save man from his sin, not Israel from Roman oppression. And because he didn't come the way they thought he should come, they didn't believe he was the Son of God. And they had little trouble delivering him up to be crucified. And can you imagine the pain in the heart of Jesus when the thorn of disbelief stuck down into his brow? Oh, I would I could impress that upon your heart and my heart. I'd stop right now if I got that one lesson across. But secondly, I want you to think about another crown that went into the scalp of the Lord, that just went down further and further and cut to the quick, that was impaled into his head, into his brow. And that is the thorn of hatred and envy, of enmity. Think about how they hated Jesus. And they wanted to see him suffer. Well, why did they have so much enmity and strife towards Jesus? Well, the Bible tells us in Matthew 27 and verse 18, the very reason. And Pilate, who was a wicked man, saw it. It says in verse 18, he knew they had handed him over because of envy. They were envious of him. The crowds followed him. He could perform miracles. His teaching was with authority. The Bible says, no man spake as this man. And they were envious of him. They did not want him taking away their position of authority and undermining their teaching, taking away their traditions and their customs. And yet, Jesus never violated one law of God. He never did anything that was against the will of God. And yet, my friend, they were angry that he didn't keep their customs, and they had him crucified. You think about the crown of thorns, and you think about the thorn of disbelief as it sticks into the brow of the master. And then you think about the thorn of envy going down into the brow of the Son of God. But I'll tell you, there's a third thorn, and that's the thorn of apathy. Turn back, if you will, to Matthew 27. And when you go back to Matthew 27, notice that there was an attitude of indifference. Notice in verse 39, and those who passed by blaspheming, wagging their heads, saying, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Notice, these were people who were just passing by. It talks about the chief priests, the scribes, and elders in verse 41 who were mocking about the same thing. But these were just people who were going by the cross. Passerby, probably coming to the city for the Passover feast. And what do they do when they look at Jesus? They mock him. They're apathetic towards his plight. They show no mercy or compassion. All they show is an attitude of apathy. You know, my friend, they blaspheme and they did not take time to investigate. They just passed on by, saying, "You who build the temple." They'd heard what Jesus had said and they mocked him. And all that did was feed into the chief scribes and the chief priests and the elders that they continued to mock. But then I'll tell you, there's another thorn that would be stuck in the master's brow. And it would be one that would hurt, and that would be the thorn of ignorance. Ignorance of his deity. And in fact, that they were putting him on the cross in ignorance. That what they were doing, they did not take knowledge of. Take your Bible and look in the book of Acts in the 3rd chapter. And when you come to the book of Acts in the 3rd chapter, look at what Peter said. Look, if you will, at verse 14. "You denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yet the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of y'all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also you rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled." He said, you did it in ignorance, but you should have known better. That goes back to disbelief in one way, but I'll tell you, it goes a little further. And the fact, my friend, that Peter says, you need to repent of that. You denied him. He said, you, in the presence of Pilate, who was determined to let him go, denied the holy and just one, and you asked for a murderer and killed the Prince of Life, the originator of life. No doubt that ignorance hurt Jesus. I want to take that. I want to make application in the lesson's yours. I want to know today how many still impale Jesus with thorns. How many today impale Jesus with the thorn of disbelief? They do not believe he's the Son of God. You know, I was hearing some statistics the other day about how many people in religion, I'm not talking about the church, but just in religion in general, and even in America, how many people no longer believe he's the Son of God, but say Jesus was just a good teacher. I want to tell you, my friend, either he's the Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. But either he is the Son of God, or he's a liar, because he came and said he was the Son of God. And my friend, he proved it. He showed it. He was raised from the dead. And yet, my friend, today, there are people who are so concerned with being politically correct, they're biblically incorrect. And instead of worrying about what God knows, they're more concerned about what man thinks. And one must come to believe that either Jesus is the Christ and follow him or give up altogether. But I'll tell you, my friend, one may choose not to believe Christ and his word, but one moment in hell you'll believe. All it'll take is one moment in torment and you'll believe he's the Son of God. You can mock me, you can laugh at me, but I'll tell you one thing, I believe he is the Christ, the Son of God, and I believe one day he's going to judge all men. And he's told men what to do in order to be saved. And you better believe he is the Christ, and you better obey his will, and better do what he says, or one day you'll find yourself in hellfire damnation. Some people say, oh, preacher, we don't believe that. My friend, they didn't believe in the Christ either, but he rose from the dead. They didn't believe Noah, and God said, I'll send the flood, and he sent the flood. And I'll tell you, there's people today that don't believe that Jesus is going to come again. I want to tell you, my friend, he said he's going to come again in 1 Thessalonians 4. That brings up another thought. Have you thought about the thorn of enmity? When we love the world more than we love God. When we're so caught up in the world and the cares of this world, it's like in Luke 8, the world and its pleasures choke the seed out of us. The seed is the word of God, and the word of God is the seed. And so often we say, well, we're good soil. Well, we shouldn't assume that, my friend, because so many of us are allowing the world to take us away from Christ. Open your Bible to the book of James in the 4th chapter. And in the book of James in the 4th chapter, look at verse 4. Adulterers and adulterers, do you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? Oh, you better believe, my friend, that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God. And I'll tell you, so often we're envious of the people of this world and we're covetous of the things of this world that we take our eyes off what God has blessed us with and we take our eyes off the goal of eternal life. Take your Bible, if you will, and look in 1 John for just a moment. And notice what John says in 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Now there's a lot of people who don't believe that. There's a lot of people this morning that mock at that. They don't believe the world is passing away. They don't believe the lust of the world will be gone. But Jesus said, and the Holy Spirit revealed to John, that the one who does the will of God will abide forever, but this world will perish. 2 Peter 3, Jesus will come as a thief in the night, and this world will be consumed with fire. Oh, I would I could get that into the hearts of men and women. I would that I could get us to see that we can't love the world and love Jesus too. Either we love Jesus or we love the world. Either our treasure is in heaven or our treasure is here. But wherever your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Jesus thus said in Matthew 6. But then think about the thorn of apathy. You know, my friend, I've often wondered if that would hurt just as much. If someone just not caring at all. Than outright hatred. Someone not even caring one iota. And think about some people who will come and sit in a pew because they don't want to go to hell, but they don't really love the Lord. They fear hell, but they don't love Christ. And can you imagine being indifferent towards Christ? That is one of the greatest insults. How can one be indifferent to what Jesus did for you? Look at the crown of thorns. You put that crown there. And with our apathy, we're just driving that thorn deeper and deeper into his brow. But I'll tell you something else. The thorn of ignorance. That hurts Christ. When we don't obey the Lord, even out of ignorance. You ever thought about Jesus through his word has told us what to do? That we believe the word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And when we hear the word of God, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And upon our faith in Jesus, we confess him freely that he is the Christ, the Son of God. We repent of our sins and we're baptized upon our faith so that our sins can be blotted out and we're washed in the blood of the Lamb who died on the cross. And just as he died and was buried and was raised, we die to self, raised up to walk in newness of life. And God will not ignore our ignorance. Open your Bible to Acts 17 and look at what the apostle said in verse 30. Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Why? Look at verse 31. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he's ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. There's coming a day. He said, God had overlooked those times, but he said, now he commands all men everywhere to repent. He's appointed a day. There's a day. You and I don't know when that day is. Only God the Father knows. But there's a day coming when we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And what kind of look will we receive? Can we be said it's been guilty of us? That we are impaling the scalp of the Son of God. Impaling the brow of the one who loved us enough to die for us. By ignoring his will. My prayer is that we don't impale him anymore. but that we put him first in our life. We believe in him. We trust in him. We obey him. We give him glory and praise and honor, all that is due him. And we live to please him so one day we could live with him. The choice is yours. God doesn't force you to choose to be his disciple. God leaves that choice to yours. But my friend, the consequences of that choice could be eternal damnation. Or you could abide with God forever and look upon the one who loved you so much, he died with the crown of thorns upon his head so that you might be saved. Let's pray. Our Father, we're so thankful for your Son and his willingness to die on Calvary, to take away our sin. May we never take for granted that blessing. May we not hurt the Son of God anymore with disobedience, disbelief, and enmity with the world, or enmity with him because of our love for the world. But let us, Father, love him and not the world. Let us, our love, grow for him each and every day. And help us, Father, to endure whatever we have to here so that we may abide with you forever in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.